This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
I'm joined today by Dmitry Yanin, Director of Regional Development for the International Confederation of Consumer Societies in Moscow. Thank you for joining us. And also by Dr. Tim McAfee, Director of the Office on Smoking and Health for the National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion within the CDC. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. Russia and the United States each struggle with issues relating to the adoption of healthy lifestyles among their populations, although the specifics of those struggles are in many senses quite different. How can collaboration in this area provide benefit to the populations of both countries?
My name is Dmitry Yanin. I'm represented a consumer organization, NGO, and we are very pleased to work with our U.S. colleagues from tobacco control NGO groups. Also, we think that relationships between Russian Ministry of Health and U.S. colleagues, CDC representatives, is necessary to develop because Russia now need to move from deregulation, from no regulation, to the strong anti-tobacco regulative initiatives, and we are very pleased to work with CDC. We know that CDC, together with WHO and Ministry of Health, presented global research on tobacco issues, and this research is very popular in Russia for our sphere.
Great, thank you very much. And I'm Tim McAfee, the Director of Office on Smoking and Health at CDC. And we feel like it is very important for a number of reasons that we expand and deepen our already existing collaborations that we've had both with Russian NGOs and then with the Russian Ministry of Health and other agencies within the Russian government. And there's a couple of basic reasons for this. I mean, one of them is we've had a longstanding relationship with Russia around infectious diseases, around the eradication of smallpox, the collaborations relating to avoidance of the influenza pandemics, creation of vaccines through joint scientific efforts, et cetera. And if you think about why we do that, some of that is simply related to the mutual self-interest of both countries. And as with infectious diseases, the harm that's caused by tobacco in both our countries is related to a similar model to infectious diseases. You've got agents, which are the tobacco products themselves. You've got the vector, which is the transnational tobacco companies, which are both trying to essentially be an agent or move the agent into both our populations. And then you've got the reservoir or the hosts, which are the people of our countries. And as with infectious diseases, which are now no longer limited by borders, we're seeing similar phenomenon with the tobacco industries, which are moving back and forth as opportunity presents to themselves their focuses on our respective countries. So to the extent to which we can help the Russian people basically overcome the aggressive policies that the transnational tobacco companies have undertaken in the last 10 to 20 years, which has seen devastating effects on their population, this is actually important for the safety of our own populations, and I am sure that we will learn many valuable lessons from the efforts that they will undertake.
And I understand in recent months, Russia has moved forward with new regulations and legislation on tobacco control. What are the primary challenges and expected lessons learned from this experience? And what do you expect on this front in the months and years to come?
Russian Prime Minister signed anti-tobacco concept in September 2010. This document is a national anti-tobacco strategy. This document is very strong, and in the next 5 years, Russia will try to establish new regulation and new rules for our market for our consumer, for our citizen, tobacco taxes should be higher. Compared with current level, it will be 10 times more. Smoke-free environment should be established. Ad bans should be presented to our parliament, and parliament, we think, support these initiatives. All of these measures can improve the situation in the nearest time, but really we are afraid that tobacco industry will be against decision of government, against people, and against health professions and NGOs. We know that Russian market now is most profitable for tobacco industry. 94% of our market is controlled by four transnational tobacco companies: Philip Morris, BAT, Japan Tobacco, Imperial Tobacco, all of them outside of Russia. And we are afraid that tobacco industry can get in touch with officials. And we are very interested to learn more how to protect our authorities from industry. And we saw good success in this country. And we think that it's results of your system, separation industry from politics. And if we want to change situation in Russia, we can do the same. We should protect our parliament, our government, from tobacco industry.
And I would agree that those are a very important concepts, and certainly ones that this is an ongoing struggle within the United States to continue to move forward aggressively on these critical policies and legislation and regulation that we know from our experience, from international experience, that's been really incorporated into the framework convention principles, that we know will work to drive prevalence down and keep kids from starting. But we know that the tobacco industry is continuously in operation trying to, you know, keep this from happening or have it happen as slowly and as ineffectually as possible. So I think this is true in every country, that it's a continuous battle to rein in their influence. And I think to do that, there's a couple things that we've seen that have been critical. And one of these is to stay focused on those. Even if the policies are hard to implement and there's a lot of pushback on it, to keep focusing and prioritizing the ones to which we know the biggest success, which I think you've identified, increasing the price of tobacco, a clean indoor air, which will cause major societal shifts. Ideally, having the possibility of taking some of the money that's raised, the enormous sums that the government will actually raise for itself if it does substantially raise the tobacco taxes, and then through some mechanism or other, either directly or indirectly, dedicating some of those funding so that money can be made available for the parts of tobacco control that actually cost money. For instance, mass media campaigns, one way or another, assistance to people for help quitting. And then in order to do all of this, I think the other critical element is leadership. There's got to be people who are won over to the importance of this and are willing to take a stand and try to move the agenda forward from a position of leadership.
And in what ways could you expect, then, that a collaborative U.S.-Russian effort on tobacco control, how would that contribute to global tobacco control efforts?
I think that Russia and U.S. Can work closely on anti-tobacco measures in CIS region. We know that situation with tobacco control is bad in the nearest country. For example, in Belarus, in Ukraine, in Kazakhstan, and I think that on the global level, Russia should be a leading country in this process and promote good anti-tobacco measures in Russian-speaking world, in post-Soviet countries. And I think that Russia can do more and more from year to year, and we believe that together with U.S., we can improve situation more quickly because we can use U.S. experience. It's good experience, it's a success story. I think tobacco control in U.S., it's on very high level now, and Russia can use this experience and try to disseminate this experience in the nearest country and to protect citizens.
I believe that Russia's success over the next 5 years is going to be very, very important, not just to Russia, but globally around tobacco, because right now Russia has one of the highest rates, particularly of male smoking, at 60%. It's 40% of the premature deaths in middle age are caused by smoking in Russia. And these types of statistics can lead to a sense of hopelessness or something. But I don't think it's anywhere close to hopeless in Russia. There's also good news there, for instance, that a large fraction of Russian smokers are trying to quit each year, and a large majority want to quit. And this is not true in all societies. So I think if Russia is able to turn the tables and start bringing the numbers down, making these policy changes, it will be a beacon to other countries, certainly other countries in Eastern Europe, other Russian-speaking countries, et cetera, but far beyond that as well. And I think the capacity really has to work together and share some of the things that we've really learned the hard way, particularly because a lot of the activities in the United States have mostly been at the state level. So there have been 50 semi-independent experiments in the states in the U.S., and many mistakes, things done half well, things that have really been learned the hard way, and some of these, especially because I think Russia is going to come out strong nationally because of its strong central authority, it would be much better to carefully think through once they've actually decided, yes, we're going to do a media campaign, yes, we're going to try to aggressively educate our healthcare students about tobacco, yes, we're going to have clean indoor air laws, yes, we're going to do the price initiatives. There's a lot of details in how these things are executed. It's not just passing a law once. It's an iterative process over years. And they will learn things and do things that we will learn from, I have no doubt. I'm sure there will be some areas where they will essentially innovate and try some new techniques and determine some things that we will then have the capacity to jointly learn from and that they will be able to share with other countries.
Tim, Dmitry, this has been a great conversation. Thanks so much for sitting down with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Interested listeners can find other podcasts on U.S.-Russia health collaboration on our website at www.smartglobalhealth.org.